February the 4th, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Wasiuddin Muhammad, Commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.moradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Pardon me. So the Quran, Surah 21, Ayat 16 to 17, world not created sport and play. Now, Brother Imam, you see that I've discussed the Quran and I've had the Quran in my hand, but I touched it from mythology. I touched it from the Bible. And if you heard me, I touched it from the teachings of Farad, not Farad Muhammad. He hasn't earned Muhammad yet. I'm talking about David D. Farad or David F. Farad or David F. Muhammad. Way from Muhammad as far than Jews. So that's what he is, as far than Jews. And the as far than Jews are the Orientals, the Jews who gave the world Orientalism. You know, Oriental mythology and all of that? They are the ones who digged into that. They are the ones who spreaded it. That's right. It don't make no sense. They just flood the world with a lot of symbolism. See, they love, they lie and play. They say, they make this world for sport and play. Say, he made it for just end. This is in the Quran. He made it for just end, not for sport and play, meaning it's unjust. So Jacobite plays with symbolic language. It's not justice for people with esthetism to get knowledge and then start playing with the world by throwing out these symbols, all of these myths and mythology. But they enjoy it. They have a laugh on the world. They can see the meaning behind it while we are enchanted. Go see a fixing movie, and we are just enchanted with it. But that's their fix, seeing us respond to darkness while they have the light. Well, what is symbolism except darkness if you don't have the interpretation or the meaning? The Quran, Surah 21, Ayat 7 to 8, Prophet, man, mortal. Bukhari, page 1, 345, Prophet, seven heavens. So this tells the manipulator of man, no sciences that you can get and hold down the freedom of man. You think you killed a man, but you will see him tomorrow. The germ of righteousness in man can't be killed. You oppose it, you bury it, but eventually there it is again. So Quran Surah 21 and Ayah 16. This creation not for sport and play. 5 cents sounds like senses. 1 penny is 1 cent. Pitch and pennies. How many of you males remember pitch and penny? That was a signal of what was coming. What is 1 penny called? 1 cent, and 5 pennies, 5 cents. So if you try to make since plural, how would you pronounce it? Since. So there you see what is going on. Do you see what is happening in that which seems to be only play? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in our holy book, to this world and its guardians who pride themselves in being in charge of the world, we were not at play when we created the skies and the earth. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 16, it was not a play game. It is a serious matter. So I know you remember shooting pool. You still do that. Do you remember when we called ourselves cats? I remember hearing someone say something like this, later for those cats, man. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayah 1 to 2, it is saying that when God has established everything and has set the world and nature so that you can only get off the course for so long, and pretty soon you're going to reach your limit, and the time is going to run out on you. When that happens, it's going to be a very grievous time for you, and you're going to be shocked. When man puts something together that they think is powerful, they're secure in their thinking, they're going to be comfortable, ruling for a long time. Some of them think they're going to be able to rule forever. Then all of a sudden things go wrong for the rulers, and they see the thing falling, and it shocks them. The more it crumbles, the more the so-called ignorant people come into understanding of the just what the leaders have done. This is a time for the rulers. It's a shocking time and grievous time. It causes them to go back into their closets, put their hands in their head, and moan and groan. We are talking about things that happen in a civilization, things that are close to your heart and your mind. They eat the meat, the heavy food, and give the masses of the people the milk, light stuff. So when the time comes, they are going to be in so much trouble that they are going to forget about striving to hold on to the baby mind. They are going to let them go in shock. Drop pregnant low is unformed, ignorant following. And every pregnant one will lay down her burden. Here is one that hasn't yet managed to get a community of ignorant people to suck their blood. They're just in the process of forming a group of ignorant people to serve them, to be their baby. It is still in the formation period when that time comes. The shock is going to be so great that it'll make them give up their plan and walk away. Man drunken means leaders thinking shattered. And you will see man as drunken. What does man mean here? In most places where you find it, scripture, it means that the intellect composition of the person, the mind, it means you will see minds drunken. You will those minds that you have been looking up to and respecting as strong minds in control of everything as drunken minds, it says, yet they will not be drunken. This means that they won't have liquor in them. It will be the effects of shock. God will have sent boulders of knowledge and truth into the house of their thinking and shatter their brains. It says, but the chastisement of Allah will be severe. Babies in religions sit around praying and clapping and waiting for God to abort some miracle or some punishment that's going to physically hurt people. In our baby understanding, we want to see God get a physical whip and physically whip old boss man, boss lady, and boss man. the worst chastisement that can be put upon wicked rulers is to break up their mind and to break up their intellectual composition that they have put together, ruled ignorant people. It exposed them and let them common people come into the knowledge of their superior gain. You ask for one punishment, but God knows how to punish, not you. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayah 2, pregnant woman drops her load. The Quran, Surah 80, Ayah 37, each one indifferent to the other's needs. So you know the mother and the father, they used to watch over the development of our personality because at that time the influence was strong. But when the church abdicated and stepped back and allowed the media and everything else to take over their roles, then the parent got away from that and they stopped watching over the development of that of the child's personality. And all of a sudden now the child is coming at the parent with a bat or with a knife. The parent has been neglecting its responsibility for all of these summers and springs and winters and falls. But now the child is threatening the parent's life. The Quran tells us that. That day was to come. It's plainly written in the Quran that the day was going to come the child was going to punch the parent for parental neglect. It doesn't put it in those words that I'm saying, but it means just that. That people were going to turn their minds away from the true reality and were going to give their lives to the fleeting things. And the failure to meet most their own obligations was going to eventually result in a kind of blind greed and blind sensuality, where each person goes after what satisfies them immediately and forget about the consequences down the road. Parents have stopped watching over the development of the child's personality. All of a sudden now the child is coming with a bat, knife, attack parent. The parent been neglecting its responsibility for all of these summers, springs and winters, and people have turned their minds from true reality and given themselves to the life of fleeting things, some people striving for personality fulfillment. And they just soak up any personality expression that comes around them. They are not crazy. That wouldn't happen if the people were living in a religious context that fulfilled the personality needs in their lives. People who live outside of a life of context that structure their life and keep before them certain principles or principles, they are really cut off from life, so they don't have any life of their own. Their life is subject to circumstances. Whatever expression comes in today, you just become a vessel for anybody to come and drop something in the character and characterize. Blacks and Africans have no stable, constant personality. If we want to describe personality of blacks in the world, it's emotional in characteristics. So this is not to discredit us. Emotionalism will not allow you to come into what is called achieved personality. So we take on an accused personality. It's just formed as natural addiction. There was no plan, no effort to govern or direct the foundation of that personality. It just happened under the natural influences. Pop artists can bring out the song that will give us new personalities, whole black people. The African also is given to that kind of susceptibility, but more so than other races. So when we are going to become a personality true to ourselves, get ourselves, On the primitive level, blacks copied the baboon, dogs copied mannerism and social traits of the animals like all other primitive societies did until they grew out of that. The Caucasian comes amongst him, influences him, and he copies the Caucasian. He's in this late date. We can do no more than absorb expressions, copy, mimic, imitate. You can't act on your intelligence, only absorb expressions. So the Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 1 to 11, and 91 to 9, Bukhari, Volume 8, page 453. Prophet, rich is contentment of the soul. So if we strive to please Allah, we are assured success. So this doesn't mean you're going to be rich if you want money and business, but you are assured success. It's not always the rich person who is successful. Sometimes his wealth destroys his family, himself. May lead him in jail or get him killed. If I get all of the money in the world and I'm in hell mentally, then I'm in my soul, I'm not successful. The guarantee is that you are going to be pleased. For the Quran Surah 23, Ayat 6, marriage. As a result of these violent clashes, Muslims had many captives. Amongst these captives would be women. Some of them favored the religion of Islam, though they were raised as pagans, as believers in idol worship. The Muslims were permitted to take wives from amongst those women if they so desired to marry Muslim men. The mind thought fluid. So the Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 12 to 14, 1 Corinthians 14, 4 to 5, speak in tongues. Clay from man, clay from means, you had no power to resist God. God told us in the Quran how he makes and how we get out of that original make. And he shows us again how to get back into it. He says, he began your creation from something no more than clay. What is meant by this clay? Clay is manageable material. Clay is agreeable material. So God did not take any disagreeable material, no stubborn, rebellious, arrogant material. When he wanted to set about making his human being, he picked something like clay, meaning that when he started to form you, you had no power to resist him. You were unformed. You had no mind of your own. You could not question and you could not resist. You didn't have anything to use to question with. The Quran says that the angel said, "Oh God, we have no knowledge except what you gave us." Iblis from fire, by my faculties, burning the midnight oil. But Satan said, I refuse to bow. God, I'm better than what you are asking me to bow to. You created him from black mud, fashioned into shape, and you created me from fire. He was created from something like fire, meaning I have come into my form by rational activity. I have been burning my faculties, burning the midnight oil. I have been thanking God and figuring out things for myself. I have come up with a civilized order for society. I came up in the hard way. Now, do you want me to bow down to somebody just because they are morally right? Just because they are spiritual? God, I don't want to bow to something made of earth and fashioned into earthly shape, but does not have a powerful rationale, not lit with the power of reasoning, logic, etc. He did not come through the struggle like I did, beating my way through the wilderness, conquering the soil, the water, the vegetation, the animals, and even brought the angels under my power. God, I am the keeper of the angels. Don't you see now that electricity, magnetism, heat, and all the other forms of energy invisible behind these things are now in my control? God, don't you see that I have even intelligent bows to me, that even human nature bows to me, and even human spirit bows to me? This thing that you're going to pick is something beneath me, something that I will have to carry along like a baby. I have to give it civilization, food, clothing, shelter, school, and etc. Now you are going to ask me to now bow down to this cheap, black, stinky mud thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, bow down to him. And if you don't like it, get out of here. Get, God said, get down from here. Allah's breath is a sign in creation and scripture. So we have been thinking that God said, ooh, blowing. And the man stood up. No, indeed. God said, let me tell you about your creation from clay. Let me tell you how I brought you from clay to thick water. God began preaching scientific facts of creation and human nature through his prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, through his divine signs in creation. That was his breath. God made say, God man say, I used to be stinky, mud, fashioned into shape. Now I'm sweet smelling. The mud has turned into a mere state, has turned into a clean morality. You still see the same old physical form, but you better bow down. Because God has ordered and he says, from liking it or disliking it, you have to bow. So man from clay, sperm, clot, bone, flesh. Death fly is baby. Death fly is clay. So he says he began the creation of the human being from something no more than clay. Then he formed the semen drop, the water, the germ of life, from the male that goes into the female. He formed him from the thick, watery semen drop, nufatin. When we look at that semen drop, it looks foggy but pretty clear. So we can see specks are in it. So the world has taught us to look at this filth. Don't even think semen drop, that is filthy, sinful. Well, God says, look, you're talking about the stage in your development. That is not the first base. In fact, it is the second up, the ladder. The lower that I accepted was something like clay, meaning something that had no mind or knowledge to resist or to question with and had nothing but the nature God had given it. So when knowledge came, it just obeyed. Isn't this the nature of babies? Clay in Arabic is teflah. Baby in Arabic is teflah. The two words have the same basic letters, T-F-L. So you see, when the book says he created him, them, he created the human being from something like clay to those people who received it first, it meant I created you from a baby, from a child who had no knowledge to rebel, no knowledge to stand up and challenge with. You could do no more than just accept it and come into form. So that is what God is saying, because the baby is like clay. We take that clay and we make any shade we want out of it. Clay in dictation is symbolic of reminder. We can make it soft, which means soft in the society, and something speaks to its politeness. We can make it hard and somebody speaks to it and it asks, Who in the hell are you talking to? Then somebody comes with a hammer and the clay just falls apart and can't be put back together. But that soft clay that they came with a hammer, and it leaves an indentation. It did not break up. It remembers. That indication is a reminder, a sign. Don't do that again now. You don't want a whole lot of indications all over you. That hard one, you can't correct it. You can't discipline it. You hit him and he breaks up, crumbles down. And you have to throw that clay out. What you going to do with that clay? You can't do anything with it. So sperm is like water, but cloudy, represents the world's mind. The Quran says then from the clay or from the baby nature, he made us something like water, but cloudy. So when we came out of that, the baby state, and begin to learn something of the world, the mind that was clear gets cloudy. Now a mind has been formed. First, we were dealing with nature. The mind had not been formed. Now we are not dealing with the nature. The flesh was good. So was there anything wrong with the flesh? That is what the Quran is telling us. Don't you see that I make babies and they do that have anything wrong with them? They are flesh. But once mind starts to form in them, you start having problems because you put the wrong thing in their mind. So their minds are like kind of foggy. I gave them a kind of foggy mind from the start because I want them to grow into the light so they will appreciate it. But I never blocked out all the light. I just a few areas foggy. But when you take over their minds, then you begin to let that keep on going. After making the clay, then it says a semen drop, a drop of thick water fluid or little light germ from the male body. That's kind of foggy, but yet you can see through it. It is transparent. Then he says he puts it and logs it in a place of rest. Where is that place of rest? It is in the mother's care. When does that baby rest? He or she rests when it's in its mother's arms. So God gave that semen drop to mama. But we think he is talking about the womb of the mother, from the male organ of the man to the womb of the woman. We think it means just reading it literally, the womb of the woman. But it means he put it into her charge. And in her charge, the child is at rest. He nurses on his mother's breast. He sleeps in his mother's lap. She by nature has been designed to give him the proper care. If nobody interferes with this nature, it is going to develop to a high state. So cloud of blood means some knowledge is in the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then a cloud of blood. Now we think of this being in the mother's womb again. That's from the same drop, science tells us. That drop becomes a clot of blood, not a clot of blood as such, but that his mind is growing now. It is no more transparent. Some objects have gotten into his mind. But when his mother first received him, there were no objects in his mind. It was just a little fogginess, the absence of knowledge. But his mind was pure like water clear. But then with his mother, as he stayed there in that place of rest, it begins to take on ideas from the society. These ideas from the society makes a cloud of blood, meaning that now it has human life. Blood is called the life. Human life is not the physical body's life. Life here means knowledge from the human mind has come into the child's mind and has brought the birth of a human mind in that child. Before that child received that knowledge of our human society, it did not have a human mind. It just had a mind. And that mind was submissive and agreeable with truth. And not only that, with kindness. I do not care. I do not care how ugly babies look or how irritable it seems to be when it comes from its mother's womb. We can get a pleasant response from the baby. The little baby smiles and has no teeth, but shows us those gums. Sometimes this smile just can't hardly stop smiling. What he learned from us that he can smile about? Nothing. Why is he smiling? Because God put it in his nature. God made flesh beautiful, submissive, kind, and loving. He did not make it sinful, but we begin to feed our crazy, walk, distorted, lying, false ideas. And then the child takes on an ugly nature. You're going to be a little while, but you are going to be better off. I assure you, will be stronger. You think you know where the power is in this. No, the power is in God's guidance. You want power, just sit here and listen, and you will have power. So blood, life of the body, mind is the life of your flesh. Brain dead legally, though life is in the body. So he tells us in the Quran, after the clot of blood, after we have taken on ideas from the society, where does the blood come from? The blood comes from the flesh of our parents, of people. This means that the life of the body, the Bible says, book is the life of the body. The Bible says blood is the life of the body. The life of your flesh is your mind. Your mind moves your body. When your mind becomes dead, they usually take a brain wave test, ECG, and if they don't see any signs of activity in your brain, though your body is still alive, they call you legally dead. We, the unlike, talking about the physical blood God is using, these things to show us signs of a higher knowledge that he is pointing us to. And it is divine because those things speak perfectly to higher wisdom. So if God can trace your growth from beginning to where you are right now, and where you should be, and show you into physical things that have taken place in perfect sequence or in perfect order, that these things speak perfectly, the reality that are in your life. So John 1:1, in the beginning there was the Logos, the Word. Word took on flesh, means divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. Now, isn't that a proof? You're talking about proof. Can religion be validated? Is religion empirical knowledge? Can religion be logically substantiated? You fool you. It is more powerful than any of the logic you have ever heard of or ever will hear of. In fact, your logic is non-logic. In the beginning, there was the Logos. It is all logic. Yours is grafted logic. So the Bible says, in the beginning there was the Word. Word is logos. Logic is from the Word, it says. Then the Word took on flesh, and the divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. It had to bring you fresh up into, took on means, to take on responsibilities for something or to challenge. If I take on Muhammad Ali, it means I challenge him. If I take on a problem, it means I challenge the problem. I'm going to solve it or try to anyway. So if I take on responsibility, it means I am going to carry it. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word took on flesh, meaning that it challenged flesh to make grow. I'm going to have to go to fight flesh. I want you to have some more muscles. Not only that, it took on the burden of flesh. I know you are nothing but Teflon, baby, something like clay, but I'm going to push you until you become a semen drop and carry you until you become a clot of blood. It says the word has taken on flesh. It means God in divine truth and his message as the world of real truth and real logic. So fetus lump means the mind been given thoughts for somebody else. So he comes into our flesh and begin bringing our minds up to high form, then a clot of blood, and after that, a fetus lump. What is a fetus lump? A fetus lump is the clot of blood that has given into our flesh lump. It is more than just blood now, but it is still unstructured. So what is this referring to now? We mentioned the clay. We mentioned the semen drop, then put or lodged in a place of rest into the mother's charge. Now the clot of blood is formed, meaning that the ideas of human society, the life out of our body, our mind, is fed into that new child and give him that same blood, same life now. After that, God says, He then makes a fetus lump. And science tells us this is exactly true for the stage of physical development in the mother's womb. The fetus lump, what is it referring to now? Fetus lump here means here is that the mind has been given thoughts or blood of the body of somebody else. So when these thoughts come into our mind, they are just going through the mind. But after a while, as a child, I begin to think I know. But when I begin to think I know, that means I have been formed as a fetus lump. It is not fluid anymore. It is not running unformed. It's not blood anymore, as clot or a thought that is just in the body. But it is a thought now that has taken on something in me. Fetus lump is flesh. My own flesh now is with this thought from outside. So it means that now I have begun to come under the thought from outside. It came into me. Now I begin to form in the likeness of what I was taught. I have accepted society's knowledge. That has given me. So now I speak like you speak. I speak in tongues. Bones building is an edifice, and divine truth is edifying. So bones means law. But this is not enough. God says out of the fetus lump, bones, it is not enough for me to talk like you talk. I have your mind and be formed to it in a clot of flesh. Not the blood that you can just easily wipe the blood up. Blood clot, but if it clots, you can't wipe it up. But that fetus lump is flesh already. You can't do that. So the thought has been put in the child so long, you can't take them out that easily. You have to tear the flesh up and kill the thing. But God doesn't want you want it like that, like this. It says he caused in the flesh bones to grow. And this is true in science. Your bones don't form before your flesh. The flesh forms, then bones in the flesh. So what does this mean? When we speak of a structure, we call it edifice. And when we speak of logical structuring God's truth, as a logical argument, we call it edifying. So in the New Testament, Paul said there is one thing to have the Holy Ghost, and there is another thing to have the power of edification. The bones come in, means now I have learned how to defend my mind that I've gotten from the world. I can reason by myself now. I know how to put the law of argument in structure. I can form a premise and then begin defending it by establishing this particular proposition. And that particular proposition, and finally I structure my argument. So I have become an argument now. God made me of Teflon, a baby that did not argue. But now I have become an argument. I think I know, saying, don't tell me. That doesn't mean that. That does not have to be right because you say so. Can you prove it? So I have bones now. Another meaning of bones in Scripture is law. Why does it also mean laws? Because the law of logic is the law. The argument that you give, you are following directions of certain things. You call laws of reasoning. So society then takes on laws. And they call them laws for society, but the law for the individual is the law of reasoning or his own logic. So that is his own private law or his own private skeleton or his own private edifice that holds up his flesh. Some say, I have to defend myself. Don't tell me so and so. I have more sense than that. I can defend my own self. Thought is fluid. Flesh means my knowledge. Bones is logic. So he means I can uphold my own flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh means that which is with you, that has been given from and has no power of itself. So it is not mind, it is not thought. Thought is fluid. Mind is like a liquid body of laws. But flesh is something that has taken form. So my edifying ability or my logic or reasoning holds up my knowledge. Flesh means my knowledge. My flesh is my knowledge. I can defend my knowledge, meaning that I can hold up my knowledge with my argument, with my so-called logic. So bones are formed in the flesh. Logic or rational argument has formed in my knowledge. So thought comes together, season, and nature, to make knowledge. So you see, from blood to flesh, and then in knowledge, with knowledge, we learn how to defend that body of knowledge. And the ability to defend that body of knowledge is called logic or reasoning. And that particular body of arguments in the bones for the flesh that upholds the knowledge. It says, Tumma kalikin akhira. Tumma kalikin akhira. Which means then another creation or a new creation. So after we have been made or created like this, and have come into bones when we think we know everything. I can uphold my own. My flesh won't fall down like a lump. I can hold it up like a man. So the bones are in there now. The flesh is structured upright. My lamp will not fall down. I have bones in my lamp. I can uphold my flesh. After you get like that, and think you know everything, God says, then a new creation. He has to create you all over again. You crazy, stubborn blockhead. You have the wrong understanding. You ask, how is it going to do this? How can God create me again? He said, He who formed you in the first time is more powerful to do it again. So didn't he create babies on earth? And didn't he form society naturally before this world went crazy and have all these weird and human ideas? He know how it is supposed to populate and build up. He know how the edifice is to produce the edifice. He know how edifying, pardon me, is to produce the edifice. So the Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 35, lamp in a glass. So the prophet has worked on obeying God so long until there is no effort to obey. Obedience had become the nature of that person. So the morals are not like water that needs to, a container equals discipline. So there is no container needed. it has already taken itself the discipline. So if there is glass, it holds that shape. And nothing takes out of unless you destroy the glass. But water is shaky. It has to have something to hold it constantly. Glass, you can move it about. It keeps the same shape. The high moral character of Prophet Muhammad is described, Nur al-Glass, pure, refined, clear glass that shows clearly the light. His character as no more like water needing constant work on it to keep it right, or constantly holding it in check. His morals have become glass, fixed, as God wanted them to be. So the prophet had attained that degree of moral control wherein he didn't have to constantly work on his morals. The Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 35, Allah, light of sky and earth. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 46, prophet as a lamp, Sidrajin Munirin, Sidrajin Munirin. Psalms 23:5, anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. O light, John 9:5, Jesus, light of the world, as long as I am in the world. We have heard that God is the light of the heavens and the earth, and we have heard that Jesus is the light. But here in this, it is very clear that a man is not the light, the prophet is not the light, but the prophet is a means for aiding that light, for aiding the transmission of that light to those that is in meant for, that is meant for. Just as the lamp sets in the niche itself helps distribute the light or diffuse the light. So this verse is telling us that a man is not the light of God, but a man in his character may help as a reflector of what God has given of his light. If his character is right, his character will help reflect. Blessed tree, not east or west, is universal knowledge. Where is the tree? Is this tree in Sinai? Is this tree in Bethlehem? Is this tree in Mecca? A blessed tree, neither east nor west. A blessed tree, neither east nor west. So what is God's knowledge? Is God's knowledge to be found in Mecca? Is it to be found in Jerusalem? Is it to be found in Africa or in Egypt? No. It is a tree that is not limited to east nor west. It is a tree that is universal. Universal knowledge. God has blessed us with universal knowledge. His knowledge is universal. It is not limited to race or to a nation. His knowledge is universal. His light is universal. His light covers both the spiritual realm and the material realm. His knowledge is not a knowledge that addresses spiritual matters and ignores material matters. His knowledge includes both the material realm and the spiritual, and the earth and the sky. So where is that knowledge? A parable of that is the tree blessed by God. Blessed by God of that tree is the essence of substance, oil, the essence of the tree. The tree itself is wood. The fruit is an olive. So the Shriners, they went to Africa, to Egypt. For light, they went west. Egypt is west. They went west for the light. East represents by China or India. And there are some who go to India and China for the light. That's going east for the light. Mecca is central. It is not in the east, nor is it in the west. So West Africa, East is Asia. So West is Africa, East is Asia. Mecca is Mideast. It's between East and West. Mecca sits between East and West. So in a symbolic way, Mecca represents that it is not east nor west, but the light of itself is universal. So if God says it is not east nor west, he means that it cannot be found in any locality isolated from his creation. The knowledge is extended over his whole creation. The knowledge is universal. Jesus said, I am the light as long as I am in the world. He said that nevertheless, I must go away. Is that right? Okay. So Jesus said that I'm the light as long as I am the light of the world. Meaning that when I die, I'm not the light no more for you. So that's not a good parable of God's light. So it's not used in the Quran. Allah doesn't say in the Quran, the parable of God's light is Prophet Muhammad, or a parable of God's light is Christ Jesus. No. A parable of God's light is the creation itself. God glass is conscience, morals of prophet. So the glass of the lamp helps represent the good conscience, the moral, high moral refinement of the prophet himself. The glass, it doesn't reveal something, hide something, and reveal something untruthful. Clear glass shows you exactly what's behind it. So the prophet's conscience and his nature was clear. So what God revealed to him came out and reflected perfectly as he received it. So his very character was an aid for the diffusion or message of knowledge that he received. His very character was a means for conveying light. So the nature is called character. When we speak of nature, of the inner person, the inner being, or the mind, the personality, the conscious, the morals, moral makeup of the person, we speak of that nature. We call it character. When it goes bad, we say he had bad character, you see? But we're talking about the nature. So Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, had the best nature. His had to have been right. So right that his nature became the supreme example for all other humans to follow. So conscience, his very nature was as a clear glass that reflects the light of God without any impediment. Or disruption, or corruption, nothing blocking the way of God's light. So this is the light of God, and a lamp setting in the niche, a prophet setting amongst them, and he himself had become so turned, so finely tuned to the will of God and to God's revelation, that his reflection of God's knowledge as though glass, clear glass is being, into the people, and the people as the niche receives it and they diffuse it outward, so that the whole community, the whole society gets a bit of that light. People being addressed by the light of God through a prophet whose moral nature and character is so fine, so finely tuned by what God commands, that he is no obstruction, that no part of his being is a hindrance to obstruct the guidance or the light of God that comes to him as a messenger. This is the beautiful sign of that light. The light without the glass is not diffused nicely. But when you put a clean glass about the light diffuses nicely. And the heat is contained in the glass. The light and the heat are diffused evenly. Because of the glass. So it's necessary for us to have the right conscience. Conscience, the right moral makeup, the right moral character. If we don't have this, then somebody will get burned. How if there is a glass, they will stick their hand in it, hit the glass, and won't direct to the fire. So the character should be separated from the fire and yet be fitting from the fire. Is that right? So here, character now surrounding the fire. Fire is burning within the character. In other words, knowledge is coming into my own mind. But my character is protecting that knowledge. And that knowledge is shining through through my character. The knowledge shouldn't come through my intellect to you. It should come through my character to you. The oil refers to knowledge. The oil itself, without fire to it, appears to have light. So the oil itself appears to have light. So here, oil is referring to the knowledge. So this is knowledge. The knowledge is oil. And that clear liquid is inflammable. It burns a clear burning, a clean burning, not a lot of black smoke, dust, choking stuff, clean burning. Oil burns, no impediments in it. So the oil is transparent. You can't look through the tree. You can't look through the olive. But the oil is transparent, which means that it admits understanding. It admits vision, perception. Oil burning clean means that God revealed it will show up other things. If I put olives in a cup of olive oil, I can see the olive in the olive oil. And then if there is darkness and a light, the olive, the light will show me what is in the dark. Is that right? So the oil has the power to show what is in it. If it is not pure, right? Or if it has matter, gross matter in it, it will show up in the oil. Gross matter will show up in the oil. But the oil also has the ability to give off light. So if there is darkness, the light, the oil has the ability, the power to give off light and show us what is hidden in darkness. This is the way that God's light is. So the purity of light is seen in the very essence of the knowledge itself. Pure knowledge doesn't show us trees, fruit, the mite, 175-pound man, blue garment, red sheet, white sheet. True knowledge doesn't show us that. Surface knowledge shows us that. True knowledge shows us the essence of truth, the essence of the true knowledge. Strip glass, strip gross matter, grossness, and above, and shows us one universal life or one universal knowledge. So matter energy. This matter, what is it? What is the fruit? The fruit is matter that is formed because of certain activity, growth. The matter is composed of certain particles. Small particles contain charges. When we begin to strip these fruit down, eventually we'll make this fruit transparent. Eventually we'll make the fruit transparent. So we will reduce that fruit to what? Energy. Energy is visible, isn't it? So what is matter? Matter is energy. Energy you cannot see. So if we reduce matter down to its finest or lowest denominator or lowest state or pure state, we won't have gross matter anymore. We'll have energy. So God's light is like the transparent means that God's light holds the knowledge. For understanding the gross matter, with God's knowledge, you can understand the gross matter. You can remove the veil of the fruit and see its essence. Its essence is transparent. You can remove the veil of a 175-pound man and see his essence or transparency. You can remove the veil of the gross matter and see its essence. And its essence is transparent. So fire is understanding. So the fire is understanding the knowledge we get out of the knowledge. And you can't get that without applying your intelligence. When you apply your intelligence, then there is a friction, an activity between what you're studying and that and that activity helps bring light to your own mind. Is that right? And the light that comes from the oil is not touching. The light is not touching the oil. The fire is not even touching the oil. There is a space between the oil and the fire. The fire there represents the activity in the human mind. The activity in the human cannot touch God's revealed truth, meaning you can influence it with your own thinking. Your thinking will not influence it. You cannot come to touch it with it. You must get it from a distance. There must be a space that keeps you out of influencing that knowledge, and that space that keeps you out from influencing that knowledge keeps the knowledge right and keep you right. It keeps you human and keeps the knowledge divine. Salakallahu Dadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I've been your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa, excellent Mirage Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. We will continue this next Thursday at 7 p.m. and at 8, pardon me, next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Thursday. So with that, we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.